You're listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, a conversation between two great friends with over 70 years of ministry between them. Ministering on opposite sides of the border, Dr. Al Stone is the General Director of Bearing Precious Seed Canada and Pastor Emeritus of the Bible Baptist Church in St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada, while Pastor Dan Wolven pastors the North Columbus Baptist Church in Columbus, Ohio. Listen now as Al and Dan review and relate their experiences in hopes of helping others who are taking an interest in ministry. Now, here is Tim Talks.
Welcome to Tim Talks. With me today is a dear friend of mine. I have a lot of dear friends. I say that a lot, but I really do. I mean it. This guy is a great friend of mine. Brother Mark Elcock is with me today. Good. And Brother Mark, you will hear my American friends that he speaks just a little bit differently. He's got an accent that may be peculiar to you, but it's not to us in Canada.
Yes, boy.
That's him right there. He's a Newfoundlander. And if you've never met a Newfoundlander, you've missed out. They are awesome, awesome people. And we often joke and say that they are our Kentucky or West Virginia.
That's right.
They're just down-home folks.
That's right.
That just love to laugh and love to live.
Yeah, that's right. We do.
Mark, thanks for being my friend.
Oh, I appreciate the opportunity.
I'm at Mark's church this week. We're doing a missions conference, and we've had tremendous services again. God is just doing some great things.
Yeah.
And the last two nights, tremendous crowd. Great crowd.
Yeah, it has been.
He's in the city of Toronto. He's in one of the suburbs of Toronto in the Mississauga, Brampton area. There are how many people around you, Mark?
In the Peel region, there's almost 2 million people.
2 million people. Got a great international church.
That's right.
How many different nations do you think are represented?
Last time I counted, there was 18 different nations.
Wow.
Yeah.
At Bible Baptist Church, we had 2. Us and them. No, we just did not have the multicultural church that you have. Your folks were so friendly and so caring. I love it.
Mm.
And just sweet spirit among your people. Tremendous response to the preaching.
Yes,
and,
it was.
God's done some great things.
It has.
But Mark, you haven't always been here.
That's right.
It's been a bit of a road for you to get here.
Yes, definitely.
Tell these folks a little bit, first of all, about the church that you have now and you know, what you're running, some of your programs,
sure,
your mission outreach. Tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So the church I pastor is Legacy Baptist Church in Mississauga. And we run probably about 160, 170 Sunday morning, close to 100 Sunday night. We have small groups during the week, different locations through the GTA. Travel is difficult, so helps get people involved. We have teen ministry, college and career group, True North, we call it. We do stuff with our seniors as well. We have a FBI institute, meets on Fridays. We got 20 people coming out to that, which is great.
That's awesome.
Really great training time for them. And we're looking to do more, a lot more outreach this year. We're just looking to the Lord to bless and encourage us. That's some of the major things that we're doing.
Yeah. Mark's doing something that is becoming more commonplace in the GTA, the Greater Toronto Area, for those that don't know. 5 million people in the Greater Toronto Area.
That's right.
How many independent Baptist churches in the city that you know of?
7, maybe.
Yeah, 7 to cover 5 million people.
We need help.
There are other churches here, but we just had a meeting today with another church in the area, a Fellowship of Evangelical Baptist Churches. They're very close to us, kind of some of our ancestry. And they said at one time there were
Over 20, 30?
30 churches, yeah, in the area, but that's still not enough for sure.
No.
But Mark, you guys meet in a building that you split with another church.
That's correct. Yeah, we rent from a Fellowship Baptist Church. So our services are a little different. In the morning, we don't usually meet at the usual time, 11, 10:30. We meet at 9, so we're really spiritual. We get up really early for church.
Yeah.
And then...
we're not starting at 9 tomorrow, are we?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Be there.
I'm usually up around the crack of noon.
Yeah, so that makes it a little bit different. Yeah. So, you know, we got to be done earlier. Evening service is okay. They don't meet themselves, but it makes it different. And it has other challenges, but the blessings far away the challenges.
Right. You went to Bible college here in Canada.
That's correct. Faithway Baptist College.
Faithway Baptist College in Ajax. And
that's right.
Got a good training there.
Yes.
And then left Bible college. Where'd you go from there?
So in 2000, me and my wife moved to Newfoundland. I went to work at First Baptist Church as youth pastor, assistant pastor, whatever was called upon.
Mm-hmm. That was really the flagship church, independent Baptist church in Newfoundland, right?
Yes, yes. That's the biggest church that I've ever known, independent Baptist in Newfoundland, yes.
Right. And Now, there are six or seven?
I think it's seven.
Seven independent Baptist churches on the island.
Yeah.
Most of them relatively smaller.
Yes.
Newfoundlanders are awesome people. They are, without question, our friendliest province. Mm-hmm. No question.
I agree.
But they're also some of the hardest people in the world.
Yeah, very traditionally bound.
Yeah. They've had a hard life out there. They were in the fishing industries that dried up. They had some offshore gas and oil, and that has slowed down. And so there have been some real difficulties. Very harsh winters, especially on the one side of the island. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very unique. A lot of drinking on the island.
Yes.
Irish, a lot of Irish background, that kind of stuff. So that's tough. So you helped at the church, First Baptist, and then from there?
We were there for about 19 months, then went on the road to raise support to start a church on the west side of the island, which is about 6 hours away from where we were ministering in. Mm-hmm. Started a church there, Humber Valley Baptist Church, and I guess it was 2002.
Right. Yeah. And were there for how long?
Almost 9 years at Deer Lake area.
9 years. Yeah. And had some great things happen.
Yes. Yeah. We bought property, able to get a building going and things. I believe it was over 50 people get saved during the time we were there.
Wow, yeah. Wow. Built a building.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a hardship, bit of a hardship, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of sweat, tears, broken hearts in some areas for sure. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Building programs can be very exciting.
Yes.
And they can also be very challenging.
Very much so.
Right. What would you say are some of the lessons that you learned in those first years of your ministry that you're trying to incorporate now or change now?
That's a great question. I think some great accountability, having men that have proven themselves in being capable leaders. I think that's a very important part. And just keeping good accounts with those guys to help you stay on track. Because we were very isolated from other independent Baptist ministers and churches. So when you get in isolation kind of like that, it's easy to drift mind, purpose, different things. Not into sin, but just away from the main mission.
Yeah.
And so that would be something I would really look to, and definitely ask a lot more questions.
Right, right.
About ministry.
Yeah, yeah. So after Humber Valley, you then came to...
came to Brampton. So that was in 2010. Myself and my family moved to Brampton. We took Brampton International Baptist Church, voted in there. It's almost 9 years now that happened, and took the church there. It was a bigger church than what we were serving in Humber Valley in Deer Lake. I guess it was about 70 folks, maybe a little bit more, maybe a little less. Mm-hmm. Came in. Brother Cook had started the church, took it from him. And there was some really exciting days. The first year we saw 20 people get saved. It was fantastic.
Wow.
Really exciting.
You went from a community of what size in Humber Valley?
The Humber Valley itself didn't have more than 7,000 people.
And you moved to an area that had
520-something thousand. Yeah, just a little bit bigger.
A little bit of a culture shock.
That's right.
And a whole different mindset.
Absolutely different.
I would say Newfoundland is... It really is. It's like West Virginia, Kentucky, and that it's just easy going. The southern states just a little more easy going, slower pace for sure.
That's correct.
You're not in a hurry for anything there.
That's correct.
And then you come to the city where it is go, go, go.
The city will eat you.
It will.
Yeah.
400,000 cars a day travel the 401 highway that runs through the middle of the city.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine, you think California is bad, or you think New York is bad. This is some of the heaviest traffic in the world.
That's right.
Driving down that road. And so your folks have to battle that every day.
That's right. Yeah. And they come from all over. So that is a daily grind.
Yeah. And that makes a difference in your people too.
Yeah, it does.
And your ministry. It changes ministry.
It does.
And so from there, you had the church there. Tell me about what happened there. Why are you here from there?
Sure. So, like I said, early, the first couple of years were fantastic. Saw a bunch of people get saved, baptized. Our membership grew. And I guess about the second, third year, we noticed some people moving away. It's not a place you stay when you retire. You're leaving the city to go to nicer ground.
What's the average home cost here?
The average home, you're probably talking $600,000, $700,000 in the city of Brampton.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's not a cheap place.
I think in the GTA, it's up to about $1 million average.
Yeah, in the city proper of Toronto, yes, it is.
Right. Wow, yeah. So you can see why.
Yeah, so they sell that and they move on. So we had a few people move on from that who are super faithful, super givers. So it affected us pretty quickly. And then we had some folks pass away suddenly who are key members of our church. And then there was, you know, ministry. Some people aren't happy with the message. So that stuff happened. Nothing major, but mm-hmm. it happens. Mm-hmm. So during that time, we saw, decrease in folks coming out. And, we were really searching for the Lord, what he would have us to do, what direction, what we were willing to move to another part of the city or a different city. Church members were very, very open to it. We had about 40, 50 people by that time. So they were open, whatever the Lord would have for us. And at that time, we really started praying, myself and the deacon in our church, about a possible merger with Mississauga International Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. At that time, they were looking at buying some property in Brampton itself. We thought, wow, that'd be great to come together in the same place, same location, no competition. We're moving forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I talked to Brother Thiessen, Pastor Thiessen, and he was very interested. We talked, and it came together real quick, about six months.
Yeah. I think one of the things that really impressed me most about you, Mark, was that when you were going through that time when people were leaving, you know, tenses were down, money was down, you called me and said, hey, I want you to be honest with me. Mm-hmm. I want you to tell me what you think. And that's a hard thing to do, mm-hmm. especially if you call me because you know I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you straight up.
Yep.
And he said, I just don't know what to do. I'm not sure what's wrong. And I said, Mark, I'm going to give you my 2 cents worth. And I said, Mark, I don't think you've ever had anybody really train you how to administrate a church. Mm-hmm. Good preacher, great guy to be with. And like, you're a people person.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
You're an encourager. You really are. But the administrative side wasn't there. And so I recommended that you get with Brother Thiessen. Mm-hmm. And because he was a great administrator.
Yes.
And that worked.
Yes.
That worked. And for you to humble yourself and really take a step back from the pastorate to work with that man for 2 years?
Yes. 2 years. Just over 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, that's an amazing thing. I'm so glad you did that. And I think there are a lot of guys that would probably maybe say, you know what, I need to do that, or I should have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of learning, you know, a long time the hard way. So I commend you on that. What would you say to guys today that maybe have come right out of Bible college or maybe, you know, didn't have that kind of training? What do you do? What kind of frustrations do you have in that situation? And what do you do to rectify that?
Frustrations in the sense of the same situation?
Yeah.
I would do a serious amount of praying. I know that's what I had done along with my wife when things weren't going great. I just asked for the Lord's direction. I think it's very important to have good godly men in your life that you can ask questions about. And the reality is, I don't always necessarily agree with the opinion, but it's just that I get good sounding from other guys about it. And some of them are not necessarily in the ministry, but businessmen, good Christian businessmen, other individuals who got a great relationship with the Lord, I would ask. And, you know, seeking advice from those who might have done it before as well, like who merged together or move forward and something similar like that. Mm-hmm. And it was different. There's no doubt to go from I'm your pastor to I'm the assistant pastor. Mm-hmm. And I determined in my heart when I knew it was going to happen that I was going to be the very best assistant pastor that I could ever be.
That's awesome.
And I hope I did. But I know in my heart that was what I purposed. And it really did help with when this all went down with the merger and things, I had no idea what was going to take place. Mm-hmm. And I believe that heart, the Lord giving me that heart and the encouragement I received from other pastors and individuals in our church really prepared me for where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a matter of just giving it to the Lord, seeking good advice, and be willing to follow the God's plan. And it could be something that you're not real comfortable with, but mm-hmm. the Lord has a bigger plan.
All of those other ministries that you were involved in, all preparation time for this time.
Absolutely correct.
Right?
Yeah.
When you're going through that, you don't see that though.
No. At that time, you feel the heartache. There can be questions of doubt. Am I doing the right thing? Am I even supposed to do this?
Right.
Other opportunities might think I could do better there. But just staying true to what you know, what God has given you in the light, don't doubt in the dark.
Mm, that's good.
That's definitely was a phrase I quoted often.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's paid off. Great things happening here.
Amen.
Brother Brian Thiessen left you a great ministry.
He did.
Very sound financially.
Mm-hmm.
Great group of well-established people.
Yes, it is.
And I think by coming in as that assistant, these people very quickly knew your heart was not just to be, you know, the kingpin pastor,
mm-hmm.
but to serve a Lord,
yes.
and be ministry-minded. And I think that was a great help for them to be able to see that.
I agree, totally. And those 2 years, without knowing that this was taking place, there was no pretense. There was no, I got to impress people. This is just who I am, and we want to serve the Lord together. One part I did forget to mention was when we did do the merger, Pastor Thiessen asked me to give him 2 years
mm-hmm.
just to help with the transitional time.
Yeah.
And it was a great bit of advice, and we did that, and it worked really well. Again, it was the Lord did it.
Yeah.
He did it.
Yeah, but you both had to be willing.
That is correct.
Wow. So now you're pastoring this church, 170 people. Mm-hmm. Just for folks that don't know, that's a good-sized church in Canada.
We are blessed, there's no doubt.
That's a great-sized church, and the attendances that we've had the last couple nights really have been reflective of how solid the church is.
I agree.
In the city, to get people to come out for an evening service is difficult, especially in this city, because the rush hour traffic here is, what, 3-4 hours?
Depending on where you are. Yeah, it could be that long.
Yeah, it could be that long. And most people try to work in the area where they live, but if you have to commute, it can be tough. So to get folks to come out, they have to be pretty dedicated.
They do.
And you had a great crowd. So,
yes.
That says something. What would you say is something that you're going to leave the same, and what are some things that you're going to try and change in the ministry here? Understanding that we never criticize
right.
what anybody's done, but things do change.
Yes.
Things are changing in our country.
That's right.
And in our society.
Yeah.
So what are some things that you say, I'm going to leave alone, I'm not going to change that, but here's some things that I would like to try and change over time?
I definitely think that there needs to be a kind of a shift in how we reach more people in our city. It's going to be increasingly difficult to find property and things of that nature. So maybe think outside the box a little bit, maybe a service in that area during the week or on a Sunday when it's not contrary to our services. So maybe another site, try to reach out and using lay people and, you know, staff members in our community or in our church, sorry, to reach that area.
Mm-hmm.
That's definitely something that's on my mind. It's just super difficult, and it's so expensive.
Yeah.
To get a missionary. I mean, we're all for church planners, missionaries that come to Toronto, but it's going to take a lot of money. So I think that way might be a little bit more innovative
mm-hmm.
to try to reach areas. You know, that's a big one for me, and I want our church to be super excited about reaching people for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And we've had a great heritage with that. I just want to revitalize it. You know, during transition,
mm-hmm.
things can get a little bit to the side just as you're trying to figure out people. I was here for 2+ years, but I was not the pastor for those 2 years.
Right.
So this is a different role to fill. I really felt that last year and a half has been great to get to know the people, get to know issues and help folks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really feeling now this time that we can step out and really reach this area for Christ. So kind of relight the fire as such
right.
For that. And right. As you've seen, it's great, great spirit in our church for that.
Yes, phenomenal.
So those areas are big ones for me. And I want our ministry to be super encouraging to every preacher.
Yeah.
I know, again, being in Newfoundland, isolation, it can be very discouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And I want myself as my ministry, as a pastor, and our church ministry to be super encouraging. When you come to Legacy Baptist Church, you're going to be changed.
Yeah.
And you'll be encouraged.
Yeah, that's awesome. If there was one thing that you could change from when you started to now, or some things, what are some things that you would have changed? Or would you have changed anything?
Wow. That is a big question
as
well.
It's a big question.
Yeah.
This is a lot.
I think that I would have liked a little bit more of understanding the ministry. As you've talked about, the ministration side, that is an area that I wish I would have had a little bit more attention to. I do love people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't usually have a hard time talking to people.
Yeah.
That's not an issue for me.
Yeah, we
agree.
I agree.
I have not yet kissed a Balarney stone, but it's something that I find easy, but administration is not easy. And it can get you in trouble if you're not watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one area that I would have got some more training about understanding. And I think just to keep that lit fire of reaching souls and being as conscious. I mean, I've dropped the ball. I don't want to think how many times I have in reaching people and reaching out. Even though I'm a people person, there still can be times where you get distracted,
right.
You know, and you're not, could be reaching people that you're not. Mm-hmm. So that's something I would. And just trust the Lord. So too many times I got ahead of him.
Yeah. I love the idea, and you touched on that, that I think the idea, at least in our country, the idea of having the mega church in the city is not really practical for most of us.
That's correct.
There are some of them here. Most of them were founded many years ago and bought property years ago. But most guys today are going to have a congregation of 100 people, maybe,
mm-hmm.
50, probably more likely.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a few of our younger guys that have the idea that we're going to have an established church here. And then from this church, we'll start a new church a distance away.
Mm-hmm.
And once that fills up, we'll start another church a distance away,
mm-hmm.
and have three or four churches, you know, started from one church and support that pastor as he comes in, yeah. help with the visitation, do those things, and working together.
That's
that
right.
way. And we've seen that started. We have a young preacher out in Vancouver,
mm-hmm.
Paul Connor, who
yeah.
has started that idea and working towards that. I don't know how feasible it's going to be. I don't know if it's going to work, but I
right.
think it's a good idea.
Yeah, we got to try something.
We got to do something,
yeah.
for sure.
And just with the... You know, we're not seeing the crowds of church planters as we had in the past. I don't think it gives us an excuse not to try something.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people. Like you said, there is millions of people in this area, and vast majority of them are lost.
Wow.
There's hundreds of people who walk by our church every day.
Yeah.
And the only thing they hear about church is what they see on my sign.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so mm-hmm. we got to do something
yeah.
to try to reach these areas. And hey, if it doesn't work, we'll try something else. But we got to try. We got to put something out there.
Yeah. Just to give you an idea, we were in a meeting this morning. Had another church actually call and ask us to come over, Fellowship Baptist Church. So we went over, and they were telling us that there was a church, Fellowship Baptist Church, not far from them, that was down to 10 people.
Mm-hmm.
A developer came in and offered them $8 million
yeah.
for their property.
That's right.
And they didn't want to give it up.
Yeah.
And so another church came and amalgamated with them.
Yes.
And they continue to go.
Yeah.
Well, I got to tell you what, that's a huge step of faith. And that's some solid Christianity.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
$8 million. But they said, what are we going to do with $8 million?
Yeah.
I thought, give it to Bering British Sea Canada. Obviously, that's the way to go. I mean, man, we could reach our nation with the gospel.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what was encouraging that meeting too was, the two pastors said, yeah, we got one of those John and Romans in our
yeah,
mailbox.
That's right.
And an older gentleman, a deacon, said, I saw you on my computer. I watched your video. So that was kind of
yeah.
encouraging. That was
yeah.
kind of neat. But I'm burdened, you're burdened for our nation. And in the United States, it's no different. Our city centers desperately need the gospel and outreach of the gospel. Here, it is so multicultural.
It is, massively.
That's a challenge.
Yeah.
Let's talk just a few minutes about some of the challenges of pastoring a multicultural church.
Yeah, well, definitely, as I've come from Newfoundland, as you already made aware, everyone, so the traditions that I'm used to, nobody has a clue about.
Yeah.
So in preaching, you would say things that are funny for you, or jokes, and I've had multiple cultures look at me like I have four heads. So you just got to be careful about how you say things, but they do not understand.
Right.
I mean, I'm telling you, food fellowships are amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Last night we had a real cultural dish called Krispy Kreme.
Everybody eats those.
There's two Krispy Kremes in our country, and they happen to have one right close here. So,
So that's an issue. I mean, it's not a bad one, but it's just life. You know, so many different things. How they view family is different.
Yeah.
And then the background for outreach is different again.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's super hard to reach a Hindu person.
Yeah.
They can be reached.
Yeah.
But it's tough. And it's not 5-minute witness at the door. It takes multiple witnesses, multiple visits. But hey, they need Jesus Christ just
yeah.
like everybody else.
Well, and if you have Hindu people, obviously that's going to be a help to win another Hindu
yeah,
person,
right.
right?
That's right.
And or East Indian winning a Hindu, I
yeah.
should say. Culture helps win culture for sure.
Yeah.
And so taking and training those people that come in to our churches from those cultures, That takes a great deal of time and work, right? It does. It's not gonna explode overnight.
No,
for
that's
sure.
Right. No, but it's definitely it's a work in progress.
But if you win one,
yeah.
Oh, what a awesome feeling!
It is.
You have that I've noticed. You have folks from the Philippines. You have East Indians.
Mm-hmm.
You have obviously white Anglo Canadians.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to a couple last night from Haiti.
That's right,
from Port-au-Prince, Haiti. Sweet couple. Yeah. Oh my goodness, great conversation with them last night. So just in the short time I've been here to meet, you know, those cultures and see them mingle together. Really is pretty amazing.
It is amazing church family. Yeah.
Jesus Christ has no cultural boundary.
That's a fact.
And really unites a world very quickly.
Yeah, he is. And he is our hope.
It's awesome. Mark, you have a wonderful family. You have a beautiful wife and children. And I praise the Lord for the fact that you've been able to move them and keep them together and excited. They mm-hmm. love the ministry here.
Yes, they do.
And a great part of that ministry. Mark, you're doing a great job. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
And I'm excited about what the Lord's going to do here. I look forward to what's going to happen in this area. I'm looking forward to what's going to happen in Canada, in the United States. I believe this. I believe that things are going to get tougher before they get better.
Mm-hmm.
But I really believe there's going to be a swing back in our society where people are going to be looking for churches like ours and want the truth and want something solid and want the Bible. And you're here and you're prepared and you're ready for that.
Amen.
So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
I'm Al Stone from St. Thomas, Ontario, Canada. And with me today, my friend and my guest,
Mark Alcock
from
Newfoundland.
And the church?
Legacy Baptist Church, Mississauga.
There you go. If you're ever in the Toronto area, listen, look them up. Come. They'll show you a great time. They'll help you in the city. It's a great place to visit. We have more than Niagara Falls.
That's right.
And this city is incredible. Come and be a part of it. This is Tim Talks. I hope now that you'll take what you've heard and use it. It's Tim time. And pass it on to someone else. Maybe you're a young preacher today, and maybe you're going through some of those struggles. I know Mark would love to talk to you and try to help you if he could. You can contact him through me, and happy to have you do that. Thank you, Mark. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you as well.
This is Tim Talks. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Tim Talks, Taking Interest in Ministry, with new podcasts added each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. To learn more about your hosts, Dr. Al Stone and Pastor Dan Wolven, you can visit us at timtalks.com. That's TIIM Talks.com.